Turn to the book of John, chapter 6, if you will. I know I've used these verses before, but I don't know if I've preached a message before, but it doesn't make no difference because I think it cannot be, I don't think anything in the Bible can be preached enough. And, you know, chapter 6. But, you know, it's some things that's going on today that we don't understand. But I was listening to a preacher this week on the radio and, well, on the internet, and he said some things that got me to really thinking about what's really going on in the life and the realms of the life that we're going through today as far as Christians. And not as just far as Christians, but as far as individuals. And individuals today don't realize in what they are doing, and they think that I think there's a whole lot of people think that they're serving God, but they're really, come to find out, especially when they come to church, that they're not really serving God. But, you know, and I think it's a wonderful thing that we could do. See, because the Lord has given us, He saved us for a reason. He saved us to serve Him and not just to come. And I know I've said this time and time and time again, and I probably say it more time and time again. But we're not supposed to come to the house of God and just say, hey, I'm here. Now, Lord, I'm here. I come here this morning. Now, you need to bless me and you need to help me this week. But yet, we don't never come to the house of God and say, well, Lord, I want to bless you this morning. We need to come to the house and with that attitude that we want to bring a blessing to the Lord. And you know what I think the biggest blessing, and I believe the only blessing that the Lord would really love for His children to do and to bring to Him, and knowing that we've went out and we've done all we could all week to encourage people and getting people excited about wanting to come to church. You know, if you don't get excited about coming into church, how can we expect other people to come to church? And how can I expect other people to come if I'm going to just stand here and just read a message? No, they come for a reason. They come, they want to hear something from God. And that's what we want to do. We want to be used of the Lord while the individuals are here. And we know that over there Second Timothy, and it, towards the last verse there, is talking about where the Spirit is being quenched. The Spirit of God is being quenched more today than it ever has before in its lifetime. You know how it's being quenched? By the people that's coming in and just sitting there and not doing nothing. We have people come into church and they'll come in and they say, Lord, here I am. You need to bless me today. I come for a reason and I come for your blessings. He's got a blessing out there for each and every one of us, but we have got to give him a blessing first, and then when he will give us a blessing. But here in John chapter 6, we're going to be reading from verse 1 down to 14. And I think there's some things in here that we can look at as individuals, and we can see where that this individual that we're going to be speaking about, that not only did the Lord bless him and his family, but he brought a lesson, he brought a blessing to the Lord. And it says up here, and says John chapter 6 and verse 1, after these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracle, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. I'd love for Jesus just to come in and sit down with us. I just love to be able to know that where I'm at, that Jesus is there also. And not only that, he gets there before I get there. Why? Because I need to follow him. And he needs to lead, and he needs to guide and direct my life. But it says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworths of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's Peter brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place. And the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is the truth. That prophet that should come into the world. In verse 15 it says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain, himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into the ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, And Jesus was not come to them. And this sea arose by reason of great wind that blew. Our Father, we want to thank you for the precious word that you've given each one of us. Father, we don't have to memorize the scripture. Father, the only thing we have to do is just pick this scripture up, Father, and just read it. And as we're reading it, Father, that you'll speak to our hearts. And Lord, and you will teach us what the scripture is saying through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, Father, that we can go and we can pray and we can talk to you, and where you can just listen to our hearts. And Father, we just thank you that you are there. You never have turned me off. You never have said, no, I'm not going to listen today. But you've always been there. You've always listened. You've never turned a deaf ear. And Father, we pray today, Lord Jesus, that you may help us preach what you have laid on our heart, of what you want us to preach this morning. I pray, Father, Lord Jesus, that I will follow thy leadership and thy guidance. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. You know, here was where the Lord Jesus had went about, and he already healed some individuals of the disease, of a certain disease. But then he was going up to the mountain. And as he was going up into a mountain to where he could just get along, that's where he always went. He went to that mountaintop to get along with who? To get along with God. And while he was there getting along with God, he had other people that was following him. He had a multitude of people. You know, we as individuals, we must be so close to God that where we have people that wants to follow us to church. But we don't stay that close to God. We will allow God to use us. And we will stay close to a certain point. And then we may say, well, I'm so tired. I just don't feel like going out this evening. Why not? The reason we get tired and we don't go out is because he knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. Well, we don't want to go out. And naturally, he's not going to give us the energy to go. Now I do. I thank the Lord for all the energy that he gives me. And I'm carrying around something today that I just basically just carrying around with me. It reminds me. At one time I had used it to come down off of the platform up there. That I had used it to walk by. But the Lord, He's spoken to me and he speaks to me every day. He says, son, you just need to get up and you need to try to go. And if you'll go, I'll strengthen you and I will encourage you. Right now, I know that I can't go ahead and run up down the road. I know that. I still don't have the energy, and my leg's still not to the point where I can do that. But I know, do know one thing, what the Lord has done, he's going to continue on and do more. Just like I've told the people here before,
God does not perform a miracle in our lives and then end up don't quit performing them. I believe one time if God performs a miracle in your life, He's got more miracles to bring to your life. And I know that. And I realize that. But I need to get to the point to where I can go, and when I go, that I can go on and I can just shout on prayer. I can just shout for the glory of the Lord, and I can let the people know whom I'm serving. Because if I stay quiet, and if I stay quiet long enough, what am I going to do? I'm going to murmur. I'm going to complain. If you don't believe me, you can ask me what you can. I mean, I will. I mean, we have got to be excited. We have got to get to the point that, hey, don't He tell us that we need to be close to Him? Doesn't He tell us that we need to mature? Says in the Word of God, said, we must try our very best to be a Christian. What's a Christian? That's being Christ-like. If we want to be Christ-like, then if we're being Christ-like, praise God, then we can have other people following us to the house of the Lord. Not following me, but following the Lord Jesus Christ through me. Tonight, I'm going to share something for y'all tonight that, and I don't want y'all to come back and say, well, you know, no, you don't have to do that. But we need to get to the point in loving God so much that when I go and if I visit somebody, that my love for them and my love for the Lord Jesus Christ would just jump out all over them. And they can experience, well, hey, I believe He really cares for me. I believe He's really sincere in what He's doing. We don't have many people anymore to say that. We don't have any people anymore that will say, hey, I believe He is a sincere person. People today, they've got to the point that they use the word Christianity just like the dude said, how you doing? Why? They use it to where we won't go. Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to continue telling them that they need to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to continue telling them that that's what the church had come about. I know that we are the true church. We are the true church, and we here this morning, we are the body of Christ right here. Faith Baptist Church, right here. The people that's here this morning is making up that body. Making up the body of Christ. But yet we have people today that don't have no concern. They don't have no concern about their own self. They don't want to come to church. Oh, yeah, I don't think God means that. I think that you can go out here in the highway, and if you can get two or three more to go out there in the highway, where two or three are gathered, God's in the midst. He is in the midst. I agree with you. I can go out in the highway right now, and I can go out there, and if I'm out there by myself, The Lord ain't with me. He says, where two or three are gathered in the midst. That means that I've got to have somebody else that I can look to, that I can see where they also can say the same thing. But yet, we are to the point of today of no return. We're so scared, and I believe this, we're so scared that if we do anything, and if we don't do it exactly like the preacher does it, or like you do it, then we say, I've had people who tell me all the time. He said, you know, I can't go out on visitation. I can't go out and talk to people. But sure is a shame that we can get on the phone and we can talk for an hour or two on the phone. But yet we can't talk to people about coming to church. But yet we can talk to people about everything else. This young lad that I just read about, he had parents. He had a father and he had a mother that not only loved God, but they loved him. How many can say that today? It's not many people anymore that can truly say, I love God. And that's it. They won't say anything about the children. They'll say, I can't, you know, I try. I mean, I talk to my children, talk to my kids and everything about coming to church. They just don't want to come. Here it is. I might have a child at home. They feel like they can stay at home. They feel like they can stay there and they can just stay there and they will end up going to heaven. I'm wondering really if the parents are going. Because the parents would come back, what would they come back and say? And I've heard him say this. He says, I can't, there's no way in the world I can make him come to church. There's no way in the world I can't do anything with him. I can't do a thing in the world with him. And I look at the man. I look at the father. And the whole time I'm thinking, I don't say it, but I'm thinking about it. Man, you ain't never went. You ain't never went. You can't control your children. That's the problem about it. The children today is not being controlled by no one. The family, the parents, even the church is not controlling the children anymore. They don't teach them nothing. We need to start teaching them something. We need to teach them that they must come to the house of the Lord. If you want to go to heaven, you need to come to church. You need to get in church and you need to study about God's Word. And God will teach you what His Word said. He will teach you about sin. And He will teach you about this. And He'll teach you about that. But He's not going to teach you about it in the world. Why? Because you're in the world where the sin is at, where the sin is rampant. see no problem in not going to church. There was no problem with that. That's just like with our daughter. When our daughter was growing up, she was still in school, and she was still, I don't know, she probably like 10, 12 years old, something like that. And everything. This was about the time that, you know, the children itself was, they started disobeying the parents, and they were doing everything, this and that and everything, and they would start cursing the teachers out of school and everything. And I said something, and I said it in a way I knew that I didn't have a problem. I wouldn't have a problem about her. I knew that. But one day she come home and she says, and she was telling us about another child that the parents had whipped or spanked or beat, I don't know what it is. And the child went and called 911 and told them that my parent is abusing me. Naturally, the police goes over there. And I told my daughter, I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, I know that we have laws of this land. But I also know who's paying and who's putting the food on the table. And who's putting clothes on your back. And who has a roof over your head. You're not paying for any of that. And I said, if you ever, if I have to whip you or something like that, and which I have never had, I don't think I've ever had a whipper ever. And it's not because, you know, that I just didn't do it because she was mean and everything. No, she never did give us no problems. She never did. And I thank the good Lord for that. I really do. But I told her, I said, you know, if you ever call 911, and if they ever come out, you don't have to worry about me going to court. Because I'm not going to go to court. I'm going to just let you go to that day and put you where you want. I said, but as long as you're staying in my house, and you're standing in my roof, and you're eating my food, and you're wearing the clothes that I put on your back, nobody else is going to tell me how to raise you. No judge is going to tell me that I can't do this and I can't do that. Because I got a higher judge than any judge on the face of this earth. And that judge has told me, and I'm speaking to the great judge that's in heaven, and he's told me, he said, I'm not supposed to spare the rod. I'm not supposed to not correct you. I'm supposed to correct you with love. Not by abuse or anything like that. It's more abuse going on with the lip than there are anything else. But this lady, I mean, it's so much in there that you can bring out, that you can look at, you can read it, reread it, study it. There's so much in there for the parents today and for the preacher to give something to the people and to the parents that have children. and to help them. But I think the most important thing that we can ever do for the children that we raise today is make sure that we give them something that can stick with them. That we can give them the gospel. Just train up a child in the way he must go. You can train a child up. Train a child up in the ways of the Lord. Bring him to church. You can have a prayer at home, over the meal, and everything. You can have all of that. But if the child eventually, if they do get away from the church, they will come back. Because God's word says they will come back. Some of the things we don't like what they do, they will be back. You know, today, if it been in taking that from what I've just read, about the lad and the lad's family, the mother and the father, that we would have people, we would have parents, we would have the mother and the father both talking to that child that afternoon after they got home and said, "Son, I never want to hear you and I never want to hear anybody else say that you took another route. You should have been at school, but no, you decided that you was going to do something else. You decided because you heard a noise." Parents today, they don't even care today. If the children, where the children at, I guarantee you, I can take all the parents in your city of Dan, and you can have them all there in one congregation where you can have all the people there. And you can have, it was just me, or have somebody else go with them. Round to them, and where the mother and the father be sitting there and says, "Do you know where your child is tonight? He's there." They said, "Well, it's 9:30 Saturday night. You know where your child's at?" If you had 1,000 people, and every last one of them had children, I doubt versus out of 1,000 people that you had that many parents that could honestly say that they know where the child is. Even today, we have people today don't even know where the children are at. They say they're Christians. I don't get it. I just don't get it how a Savior of this world, not the United States, and not just the city of Danville and the county of Ringgold. I'm talking about the Savior of the world. How people just look and just feel like that he's never done nothing for them.
Never done nothing for them. I had an individual one time tell me, and I'm going to close with this. One time tell me, he said, you know, it was down at, it was at a Devil Chrysler Plymouth when I was working down there. Customer come in and we was talking. And I knew him, I went to school with him. And I asked him, I says, are you saved? He said, no, sir. He said, I ain't got to get saved. I said, you ain't? He says, no. I said, where you aiming to go then when you leave this life down here? He said, well, they going to, our even parents or my wife and everything, they're going to go down and purchase a little plot of land and they're going to put my body in it. That's where I'm going. I said, you don't believe in heaven or hell? He said, no. He said, why should I? God has never done nothing for me. Why should I believe in heaven and hell? Why should I believe what you're saying? God has never done nothing for me. I said, he hasn't. I said, I'll tell you one thing. Since I've been talking to you, the Lord, I know, has supplied you with many miracles this morning. He said, well, God ain't performed no miracle in me. God has never, ever taught me anything. He don't care about me or nothing. I said, sir, I said, you're wrong about that. I said, did you realize that God himself sent his son to die on an old rugged cross to where he grew the tree, but he placed his son there on the cross where he would shed every drop of blood he had. And he shed it just for you and just for me. He shed it for each and every individual. And he said, but God still has not done anything for me. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, let me ask you something. Where did you get the strength to be able to use your lungs to where you can suck the air in and then put it back out? Can help you to breathe. Oh, man. Oh, you don't tell me you're that crazy. I said, well, and if I'm going to believe what you are, I reckon I am that crazy then. But I don't believe what you believe. I said, listen. I said, God has performed more miracles right now in your life than what you deserve. I said, first of all, he's given you the breath of life to live and to be able to go about. And he's given you also the ability to be able to go out here and do the work that you do. He's also touched your body and given you strength the way you can go and do that job. He's also touched your eyesight the way you can be able to see and you won't have to go around feeling around and you won't have to end up stumbling. I says, God has also, he's touched your ears. He's touched your ears the way you can be able to hear. But what God wants you to hear is what somebody's speaking to you about God. And God's also, he's touched your legs the way you can be able to get up from where you're sitting right now, get up and walk away from me.
And not only that, God has given you a free will. God's given you a choice. Either to accept Him or reject Him. He said, I ain't never heard it that way before. I said, well, all that's scripture. Every bit of it's in the Bible. I said, we think just because God don't bless us, God don't do something for us, or we've been talking and everything, and we'd love to have that brand new car that we've seen, a brand new pickup we've seen, and everything. And God hasn't done anything for me. He hasn't allowed me to be able to buy a new pickup. I've been wanting a new pickup for years. And He hasn't allowed me to buy a new pickup. I said, let me ask you something. I says, is the new pickup going to get you to the place that you're going faster than the one that you're driving now? He said, no. He said, I just want it. I said, yeah. I says, yeah, I'd really love to have a new pickup. I really would. I said, but you know, I don't need it. Because it's not going to help me to get to someone's house and to be able to talk to them about the Lord. No better than what I'm doing. Can't get there no quicker. It's not going to give me no more ability to say what God wants me to say than anything.
And he says, you know, I've really never heard anybody ever say that before. You tell me all of that. I said, but just think about it. Where would you be at if it wasn't for God? Where would you be at? And he got to thinking. He said, really, I don't know. I said, well, I'll tell you what. If you ain't saved, if you ain't never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you and allow Him to be the Lord in your life, I can tell you exactly where you're going. He said, where's that? You ain't going to like what I'm going to say. I says, but it's hell. And I says, and hell was not created for you. And it wasn't created for me. It wasn't created for no living individual, no living soul. It was created for the devil and his angels and his followers. And I said, I don't want you to die and go to hell. Will he ever made a decision? I don't know. I haven't seen him since. I pray that he has. But I know one thing. I did give him something that he could think about. And I got one other thing I want to say, and the Lord just give me this, but you know. Thinking about that. You know, we know that the people has got to hear God's word. The people have got to hear from God before they can ever be convicted by the Holy Spirit. And one time, I got to thinking about that, but the Lord just gave me an answer to it.
And he said, you know, talking about that one individual, if I had never said anything to him, somebody else said he'd been better off. If I'd never said anything to him at all about the Lord, he'd be better, much better off. Oh yes, he'd go, yes, he would go to heaven. Because he wouldn't say. But he would not even go through life right now. Thank you. If he don't get saved, he's going to hell. He's going to be there with where the fire is at. Where the worm dies not. And I think about that now. But that's not what God's word says. God's word says that we must go. We must go and take his word. We never know, because take him for instance. If I'd have never went to him, if nobody else had ever went to him about the Lord, told him anything at all about the Lord, or the church, or the Bible, or anything. If he got sick and went to the hospital, laying down in gurney there in the hospital, then he was to die. You know, that'd be on us. That'd be on us. And I've heard preachers say that I don't go to the hospital. The reason I don't go to the hospital is because I do not believe that you need to go to the hospital and talk to these people that's in the hospital. It's because I don't believe in this deathbed salvation. I don't believe that somebody can just go and live their life like the dogs, and then they get sick and they go to the hospital. Then they want the Lord to save them. I don't believe in that. I said, well, there's a difference between me and you then. Because God's word says I must give them all the opportunity in the world. That's what he's done for me, that's what he's done for you. He gives us the opportunity. He's given us that free will. He's given us that choice. So if the individual believes that he don't believe in the deathbed confession and going to the hospital, then why would God say, go and take my word? The individual that we go to, are you on the highway and visit? Why should we go to them then? Well, one reason that I know that we need to go is because God allowed his son to leave the portals of glory where all the beauty was at, well, where there was no sin. And his father told his son, he said, son, you need to go to earth. You need to go to earth where I've created. Because the people down there need a Savior. And they are getting wicked people. Just go. Just go for them. Just visit. His son didn't say, well, okay, I'm going. His son didn't say, well, I got something I got to do right now. You know, I got a way of feeling. thoughts. He said, okay. And he left out. He followed his father's advice. We have got to look to the Father, and we have got to take his advice for our life. Because if we want to live a happy, joyful Christian life, we have to do what he asks us to do. If we don't do what he asks us to do, we won't have no Christian, and we won't have no Christian happy life either. But I'm just so, the people that's out of church, the people that used to go to church and not in church no more, I'll go to, and I don't, you know, I like for them to come visit Dan here. I said, you can come visit Dan Allen. I said, if you don't want to, you don't have to. I said, but please, get in a Bible-believing church. Get in a Bible-believing church that preaches the gospel, that preaches the King James, and do not find one of these churches' idea that when you go in and you'll see a great big screen up there and you'll see people up there dancing and all this, because that's not God. I don't believe it is. And I said, you just need to get in there. You need to take your Bible and you need to take it and you need to follow the power. You need to follow the preacher. And what he's preaching, is it coming from God's Word? Is it coming from God's Word or just coming from his thoughts or his mind or whatever? Oh yeah, I'd love for them to come to him. I really would. They know that when I go back, especially when I go back and I visit them again, if they don't come. Just because they don't come does not mean that I'm going to forget about them. No, the Lord has never forgot about them. And I'm not either. We can't. The Lord didn't forget about me. He didn't forget about me. He allowed me to go to church on that Sunday morning. But while I was there, the Holy Spirit had come up, spoke to 2-3 individual men within the church, and they were set in different places. They come the next night in this station. Hey, I'm thankful for it. That's the reason I love the visit. That's the reason I love the visit. And I know it's probably, well, I'll bring that up tonight. Brother Ben, you come this morning. We'll sing one song this morning. But if you have anything on your heart, just come and bring it to the Lord. Because he wants to hear from you. And I know that he hears from you probably each and every day. But I believe also he will speak.